wanted me to share tonight. And I want to talk about how to study the Bible. And I guess what you need to, you can start by asking, well, you know, should we study the Bible? And, you know, after all, some people say, well, it's just so confusing and it's hard to understand. And, should we trouble ourselves with it? And the answer is definitely yes. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I came across a quote, and, well, let's comment on this. No, that's not it. Where'd you get that? I mean, that's a good one, but this verse is encourages us not just to read the Word of God, but to actually study the Word of God. And it's amazing, you know, a lot of Christians don't feel the need to study the Word of God. I mean, they go through other books that are about the Bible, but they don't spend time in the Bible. And, you know, you need to be careful. There's some wonderful works of Christian fiction out there. But I would encourage you, you know, if you're spending more time reading Christian fiction than you are in your Bible, then your priorities are out of balance. And so you need to be studying the Word of God. Now, that's not as difficult as it sounds, because, you know, we come up in school and you know, it's almost like we hear the word study and you kind of cringe, you know. But studying the Word of God is a joy. It really is a joy. And I'm going to go over a couple things that will help it to retain its freshness and its joyfulness, if you will, to you. But I came across this quote. It says, "This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of the Lord its end. It should fill the memory, test the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life. It will be opened at the judgment and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who will trifle with its sacred content." That's an incredible quote. If you want to get that quote, it's actually on our website at reachthetriad.com under Pastor's Heart. But there's so many scriptures about the Word of God in the Word of God. And what I did is I just went through one chapter. It's the longest chapter, Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And if you've ever noticed that Psalm 119 is broken up into little segments, and it says Aleph, Bet, Dalet, Gimel. Those are actually, that's the Hebrew alphabet as you go through it. So if you ever get the notion that you want to pick up a little Hebrew, then you can actually pick up the Hebrew alphabet by going through there, because most Bibles have that little subtitle there. And as a matter of fact, the those first two letters of the Hebrew, Aleph and then Bet, or Bet, is where we get our word for alphabet. So it's kind of cool. But here's some really good scriptures. I mean, I had to decide which ones to leave in, because we obviously couldn't go through that whole chapter tonight. But Psalm 119:9 says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Now we're gonna go kind of quickly through these, so you may want to, if you're taking notes, you'll definitely want to jot them down. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So there we have that the Word helps us overcome our sin nature. Psalm 119:16 says, "I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." So that is encouraging us to delight ourselves in the Bible itself. Psalm 119:25 says, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." You know, I go through the same temptation that, you know, when I go home after ministering and whatnot, you know, part of me wants to just sit and veg in front of the TV to kind of take a break. But you know what I found? That if I'll pick up the Bible and spend a few minutes in the Bible, that I'm refreshed, I'm encouraged by that time much more than sitting there watching something that's usually fairly mindless on the television. Psalm 119:28 says, "My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word." So again, we go through a lot of stuff in this life, a lot of problems and a lot of troubles, and the Bible reminds us of those things. A lot of times of things we already are aware of, we already know, but it reminds us and encourages those things in us. Psalm 119:105 we sing in a song, and most of us are familiar with, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, you know, if you're out and you're walking, let's say out on a dock on a lake at, late at night, and you can't see and you're not sure where the water starts and the pier ends, you know, you're going to want a light. Well, our life is something like that. You take a few wrong steps, sometimes bad things can happen. So you want that path illuminated. Well, the light to that path is the Bible. Psalm 119:114. "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." You know, one thing I do when I talk to somebody that is suffering and they're really down, and you know, while I definitely believe that antidepressant medication is overprescribed to the point of being an epidemic in this country, the state of depression itself is a very real conscious state. And if you look through the Bible, you'll see people in the Bible who apparently go through what we would term as severe depression. Now, I differ greatly with the methods and the psychological medications that are being overprescribed. There's, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, now there's a lawsuit about some of the detrimental effects. And if you're, you know, watch CNN, you're hearing that there's more going on about that. But this is a place you can go to, is in the Word, to be encouraged, to be hopeful, to be filled with encouragement. Psalm 119:127 says, "Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." So, you know, it's amazing. So many Bibles in America just kind of sit on the shelves with cobwebs on them. And all the things that this book can do, there is one, and it's kind of a hidden secret, so you might want to jot this down. You can't pick up anything from this book through osmosis, which means if you hold it next to your head, it's not going to do anything. And because it's sitting on your shelf, that doesn't mean that much either. You actually have to open it up and read it for it to do your life some good. So are you valuing it like fine gold? Psalm 119, 130 and 131 says, "The entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments." So his words give light and give wisdom. You know, it's amazing. A lot of times in a counseling session, or somebody's asking for my input or whatever, you know, I turn to the Word of God. I'll open it and go, "Well, you know, this is what this verse says." And it's amazing because some people go, "Wow, you're just so wise." And, you know, I mean, I'm just reading the book. I mean, it's, you know, and you, when you go to the book and you use this as your source, a lot of times it I don't want to say it'll give the appearance of wisdom, but when you rely on this book, that is wisdom in itself. "Opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments." You know, I heard it's kind of a New Age story, but I think there's a lesson there. There's a guy that climbed up to this highest peak on this mountain, and he was seeking truth, you know, trying to find truth. And when he got up there, there was a wise old man, and he was sitting next to a pond, you know. And the wise man said, "Well, what are you looking for?" And he said, "I'm looking for truth." And it kind of shocked the young guy, because all of a sudden, the older fellow, who looked, you know, kind of slow, grabbed his head and shoved it underwater. And, you know, the guy started drowning and couldn't breathe, you know, and, you know, started gasping. And then at the last second, he brought his head up. And he said, when you desire truth like you just desired air, you'll find it. And according to the Scripture, we're supposed to long for the Word of God like that. Now, that's convicting, because when's the last time you longed for the Word of God like, you know, some fella holding your head underwater for, you know, a minute or so? Just brought back some bad pool memories for some of you. I know, but you should desire the Word of God in that way. And Psalm 119:140 says, your Word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. It's amazing. You know, I spent a great deal of my early Christian life kind of looking for the answers. You know, I thought there was some sort of, I don't know, some sort of formula that you could read a certain book and this guy could tell you a certain thing, and then all of a sudden everything worked out. Well, what I found is it's not nearly that complicated. That there's a couple real simple things that if you do as a believer, you will walk in the complete peace of God. One of those things is, and you're here tonight, is being in fellowship. Why? Because there's an encouragement that happens as you gather with other believers who are like-minded. Another thing is being in prayer. That doesn't necessarily mean 6 hours a day in prayer. That means you are constantly walking in prayer. And one of these other things is to spend time in the Word of God. Now, all that is built upon the foundation that you actually know the Lord, that you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins, and there's a relationship there. Nothing causes them to stumble. Now, with all these benefits, it seems like a no-brainer to study the Word of God. But it is a habit that goes against our flesh. Your flesh can come up with all kinds of reasons. Let's be a little more honest. Your flesh can come up with all kinds of excuses why you can't get into the Word of God. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16-17 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. See, this is an awesome book. And notice it says, all Scripture. There's actually some people out there that say, well, you can't really go to the Old Testament for any of your doctrinal theologies. Well, yes, we can. God is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. God doesn't change, and we can go to the Old Testament to look. Now, that doesn't mean we're necessarily under Levitical law. That just means we can gain insight about God's character and who we are in Him. And it says all Scripture, not just the New Testament. So, I think we've covered that we are to study and that there's blessings and there's benefits in studying the Word of God. So, how should we approach studying the Word of God? It's warm. Well, that first part's real easy. One of the main ways you need to study the Word of God is simply by coming to service here. See, because I believe all these things with my heart, this is a Bible-focused church. Now, maybe you heard that about another ministry, or maybe when you first came here, or maybe somebody invited you and they said, oh, you got to come here. You know, they teach the Bible, and you thought, well, doesn't everywhere teach the Bible? But then you came on a Thursday night or a Sunday morning, you're like, oh, wow, well, this is like different. It is like verse by verse and stuff. So, simply by making Thursday night and Sunday mornings a priority, and then also to go deeper in your faith Sunday nights, the Equipping the Saints stuff we do. And I mentioned that, next week is the Agape Feast communion service. The following week is our July 4th service. That the week after that, we're going to start the Equipping the Saints marriage and family and raising your kids. Kind of a home improvement series, if you will. But as far as studying the Word, those are different aspects of our faith that we need to look at. But Thursday night and Sunday morning are kind of mission critical. And again, I mentioned this morning. Take the time to read the passage before you come in here. Because what you can do is read the passage, maybe jot down a few questions. And it's amazing when I look back over the Bible, you know, I read things years ago that I used to scratch my head and go, I wonder what that means or wonder where that's going. And slowly over time, God has answered almost every one of those questions. And so take the time to do that. Make sure that that's part of your study time, is that you take the time to read the passage before we teach it on Thursday night and Sunday morning. Because quite honestly, I would take somebody that has been here for a few years on a regular basis, and again, make it a priority. I would take somebody that's been here for a few years, and we're a young church, so you would have had to been in the house for that to be possible, but let's go forward in a couple of years. I would take somebody that's been here for a few years and probably toe-to-toe them with somebody that's come out of Bible college and their knowledge of Scripture and theology. Now, you may think that's an arrogant statement. It's not an arrogant statement. It's simply that we focus solely on the Word of God. And when you're fed week in and week out, you'd probably have a deeper knowledge, actually, of Scripture than some Bible colleges, because some Bible colleges no longer teach the Bible. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. So, and one question that I often get is, somebody will ask, well, what version should I be reading? What version should I be studying? And actually, that's actually two different questions, almost. Which one should I be reading and which one should I be studying? Some people find some of the more readable versions easier to read, and they study in something else. This is my opinion, but in terms of scholarship and accuracy, I would say the one that I refer to the most is the New King James Version. The second one is probably the King James Version. The third would be the New Living Translation, which I really like for readability. Now, if you're looking for something that's readable and yet accurate, that's a good version. The fourth one would probably be the New American Standard, and that's has a high degree of accuracy in regards to the original languages. Now, I left a few out. I may have left yours out. Interestingly enough, the best-selling version of the Bible is the New International Version, the NIV version. You don't need to go burn your NIV, but I don't think it's as reliable a study Bible as the other Bibles I've just mentioned. I've done some in-depth studies on the different versions. There's some verses in the NIV that I think they've taken an uncomfortable amount of liberty in the way that they've translated it. Now, if you're really curious, now you're going to have to be balanced about this, okay? If you're really curious about that, you can go online and do some research about the NIV. But let me warn you, you're going to find some people that are, well, they're referred to as KJV only, meaning King James Version only. And they believe that the King James Version is the only inspired Word of God, that any other version is not inspired. And I don't believe that. I believe King James is very accurate. I believe the New King James is a little more accurate, because see, what I do when I'm studying is I refer back to the original languages and see, you know, is this really the heart of what it's saying? And you know, one guy was talking about the King James Version, the 1611 Authorized King James Version, and said, you know, if it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Paul didn't speak King James. He actually spoke Greek. So, but that being said, it is based, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but the NIV is based on a different text. It's based on the Nestle text. That's a different Greek text than the New King James and the King James are based on. Those are based on, it's called the Textus Receptus, which is a more accurate manuscript than the Nestle text. So that's about the versions. One thing you want to do is pray before you read or before you study. Now, again, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, there went that idea because I've got 15 minutes to read in the morning and now you're telling me I need to pray as well. I'm not necessarily saying you need to travail in prayer before you read the Bible every time. Maybe just a simple, Lord, show me what you want to show me. Speak to me what you want to speak to me. And then go ahead and read whatever portion you can. Now, understand too, there's different ways to read and different ways to study. When I'm studying to present a teaching, I go very, very in-depth. I spend the majority of my time here actually studying, somewhere between like 40 and 50 hours a week just studying. And the reason I do that is I love it. God gave me a hunger to do it. And if tonight somebody came up and said, go home, you're not pastor here anymore, next week I'd be sitting at the computer, man, digging and looking at the verses, because I just, God has given me that heart. But that being said, I also do something in the morning. I sit with my Bible and I just read it. And the little part of my mind that goes, I wonder what that means in Hebrew, I just kind of turn off for a little while. And I don't refer to commentaries and I don't look up the cross references. I just read the chapter. And God speaks to me. And, I'll pray a short prayer. Lord, just speak to me, and then I'll read. And it's that part of my reading or studying is a relatively short time. And it's very rewarding. So there's a scripture actually in John that I used to read and pray before I would study the Word of God. It's John 16, verse 13 through 15. It says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it unto you. Understand that there is something supernatural going on when you're reading your Bible. There is something very supernatural going on. Have you ever been reading a verse or reading a chapter, and it's like, it's almost like your Bible's reading you? it's like, it's exactly what's going on in your life. You pick it up the next day, and it is exactly what's going on in your life that day, and you pick it up, and it's exactly. That's because the Holy Spirit is giving you revelational truth from the Word of God. See, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God and communicates the Word of God to you. See, I don't think that... I think that... Understand, and some people point... They actually paint the Bible in almost like a mystical thing, and that God has... won't disclose these things. As a matter of fact, you got to chase Him down the hall, pulling on His coattails before He'll show you anything. God wants you to know these things. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal these things to you. He just wants you to take the time to open the book. And He will flood your mind and your heart and your soul with truth from the Word of God. That's an awesome thing. Another way, I mentioned devotional reading in the morning. Another thing that you might want to consider that I've gone in different years I've done, and I'm not doing it right now, to be honest, but is to read a proverb a day. There's 31 proverbs, 31 chapters of proverbs in the book of Proverbs. There's 31 days and a lot of months. And what you can do, and if you do this for a year, you'll be amazed at the wisdom you'll gain. And that's to read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds to the day of the month. So in other words, like tomorrow's the 21st, in the morning you would read the 21st chapter of Proverbs. And then Tuesday, read the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. A lot of wisdom in that book. Now, And I would encourage you, and see, we study through books of the Bible, and I think that's very, very, very important. And I know that, you know, on Sunday nights and also in other churches, they do what's called a topical teaching. In other words, what I do on Sunday night is I get a topic and I look around and I dig on the scriptures and present those scriptures. Now, I treat a topical a little bit different in that if there's scriptures that disagree with my viewpoint, I want to look at those as well. If you're presenting a topical, a lot of times what pastors will do is if their belief about a certain topic goes a certain way, then when they find scriptures that disagree or balance out their belief, they just throw those out and they don't present them to people. For instance, if I think God wants everybody in here to be rich, well, I'm not going to present those scriptures that talk about woe unto you and how treacherous that is. I'm going to present those about the blessings of God. So it's important to get it in the full context. And the way to make sure you're not pulling verses out of context is to read the text. See, when I say pull it out of context, I mean you can grab one verse and go, oh, this is what that means. This is what that means. But you may or may not be reading it in its proper context. And we can do that verbally with one another. You know, if I'm talking with you and I go, you know, where do you want to go to lunch? Where would you like to go eat? And you say, you know, I really don't care. And so then, you know, I can go to somebody else and go, you know, I asked him what was going on, you know, what was happening with him, that, you know, I really loved him. And he told me he really didn't care. And you see, that I just torn that statement out of the verbal context. We can do that with the Word of God. So be careful about, you know, just kind of flipping around the Bible and, you know, and I'm sure we've all done that. And I've shared this before, whether you want to admit it or not, we've all done something. And it goes like this. Lord, I want you to speak to me. And I'm going to flip open the Bible right now to any verse. And I want you to give me some direction for my life. And then you do this number. Don't do that. That can be really dangerous. I like the story about the guy that did that. He said, Lord, tell me what you want me to do with my life. And it says, then Judas went and hung himself. Well, that's not good, Lord. Let's do this. I'll give you another shot, Lord. Go and do thou likewise. Okay, we're going to do this one more time, God. I need you to speak to me from your word. That thou doest, do us quickly. Man. See, you can get into all kinds of trouble like that. So don't approach the Word of God like that. Read whole books of the Bible. You know, maybe you're sitting there and you're going, wow, well, you know, some of the books are very long. Well, and they are. And either be consistent in your reading, or maybe you want to start out. Some of the epistles actually in the New Testament are rather short. They're just a few chapters. Well, some of them are only one chapter. But it's important that you read it from beginning to end. If your Bible has a little intro, you know, setting up the historical context and whatnot, maybe read that before you read the book, because it will give you the reasons perhaps why the writer wrote the book and what the problems were that he was dealing with and whatnot. Because, and again, I've mentioned this before, you know, if you got a letter from somebody, you're not going to sit and read the first couple sentences of that letter and maybe read the last sentence and then felt like you read the letter. You don't buy a book from the store and read the first couple of pages and then read the last couple of pages and feel like you read the book. And unless you were in college and you ran out of time on the book report. But normally that's not the way that you approach a book. You read it from the beginning to the end. I would encourage you to read the Bible like that. But understanding that the Bible is a compilation of a lot of different books, 66 books, 40 different authors. And so within that context, take a book and read that whole book. And again, that's an important thing. Now, some of you are going, well, you know, I've got this Bible reading plan in my Bible, or came across it on the internet. Some of those are good. I've seen some, and I've got one in one of my Bibles that It says, you know, read a chapter in the Old Testament, read a chapter in the New Testament, read a psalm, and read something else. You know, I've tried that, and to be honest, I didn't get as much out of that as reading through one book. Because, you know, I'm in Joshua, and he's fighting, and stuff is going on. Then I go to the New Testament, and Paul's saying to love everybody, and, you know, and then I go back to the Psalms, and David's really depressed when he wrote this one. I have a hard time getting a grip on, you know, on what the book is about and what the Scripture is talking about. So, you know, if you want to try that, you can. For me personally, I haven't found that as rewarding as, you know, if you got time to read more than one chapter, read more than one chapter in the same book, and I believe you'll get more out of it. Now, maybe I'm sitting here and I'm talking about reading the Bible and you're going, oh, you know, great. I don't have any time as it is. And now you've just laid on my plate to spend a few more minutes doing something. Well, first of all, let's be honest about something. Everybody in here is given 24 hours a day. Nobody's getting ripped off. You know, you didn't get just 23 hours yesterday or something. We all get 24 hours in a day. And that's an interesting thing. You know, people say, man, it was a long day. Does that mean like somebody slipped another hour? It was actually 25 hours. I'd got a bizarre mind, I admit. But you have 24 hours in a day. How you spend that time, you make that decision. It's up to you. But before you say, I don't have time to spend more time in the Word of God, I don't have time to read the Bible, take a minute and really think about how your day is structured. Now, I don't know, you know, if you work, you go to school, or if you work at the house, or but at some point your day slows down, and that's your free time. That's the time that you make the decision what you will do with that time. Before you say that you don't have time to read the Bible, what do you do with that time? Do you watch television for a couple hours? And yet I'm sitting up here and you're thinking you don't have time to read the Word of God? Be careful. I'm not saying don't watch TV. I watch television. I don't watch a lot. And I don't say that to seem spiritual. I just don't have the time. I watch Weather Channel and CNN, and occasionally the cable access and TBN, just for fun mostly. But but I make sure that I'm in the Word. And if I want to watch television, you know, I just make sure that I'm in the Word before I watch television. And then that way, I know that I've had my priorities. I've spent the time in the Word of God. And then, you know, I'm free to watch television, and it's amazing because let me warn you about this. If you read the Bible right before you watch television, you'll look at TV a lot differently than if you don't, because all of a sudden stuff that might not bother you as much, language, sexual scenarios and stuff, all of a sudden you'll be very sensitive to that. And I would encourage you to be sensitive to that anyway. You know, a brother I was talking to at the men's attack was sharing some of his struggles with the television, and he watched one certain show that he enjoyed because mentally, you know, it went through the crime or whatever and was intriguing in that sense. But there was always some, you know, sexual thing going on or a romantic thing that was inappropriate and stuff. And I shared with him something I've shared here before. I said, bro, let me ask you a question. Because he was going, you know, it's okay because I really enjoy the show and it's too bad they're doing this with it, but I still watch it kind of thing. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If I told you that Nora had made some cookies and they're homemade, made from scratch, and man, they're really good, but you know, something happened when she was making them, and you know, we have three horses, and there was some confusion, and somehow some of the manure wound up in the cookies, and I mean, it's not a lot of manure, it's just a little bit, And then I set those cookies out. Would you eat those cookies? And there's just a little manure in them. It's not a lot. I mean, it won't hardly affect the taste. See, you're sitting there. You're going, no way would I eat those cookies. Well, approach some of the things you do with television like that. Because a lot of times we go, well, it's not a lot of manure. It's just a little bit. I mean, it's not affecting the taste overall. It's still a good show, you know. It's just a little manure. You know, every time I tell this, and then, you know, it's like a week later, Nora will bake cookies, you know. And everybody's like, no thanks. Those are those cookies, aren't they? You know, been trying to get rid of those for a while. But spend time, and again, I'm not saying, you know, go shoot your television or anything, but just be aware and be sure that you're spending the time according to priorities. And if you can lessen your time in front of the television to spend time in the Word of God, then that's obviously some time that's well spent. And it may be difficult, to be honest, if you're used to vegging in front of the television. I've taken that time, whether it's 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 15, 30 minutes, an hour, sitting in the Word of God. But once you develop that, it's an awesome thing. Because then you hunger for the Word of God and you will be fed. And you'll be amazed at the way that it will affect your life. And if you watch television to relax or whatever, let me assure you, you know what? I mean, it's an amazing thing. You watch, you know, you're going to watch an axe murder to relax. But the Word of God is much more relaxing than watching murder mysteries, let me assure you. And it's a good habit to get into. Now, quickly, tools, Bible study tools. We are so blessed in this day and age because I remember 23 years ago when I first started studying the Bible, you know, you had a big old huge honking Strong's Concordance. I think they cost like $65-70 or something back then. I mean, it's a big thing. And if you wanted to do a word count, and I used to do them. You know, I would do word counts and go through, and they're a little teeny print. And I would, you know, count the number of times the certain word was used. And I mean, it was an awesome tool. But, I've got it on my shelf still, but I don't ever use it because I've got software-based computer programs. And some of them, now they've come down so far in price that I think they're a good value. I think, now... Because of that, the Strong's Concordance has come down in price too. They're like $25 now. But if I was building a library now, and the way I'll occasionally buy a book that's not available in software, but most of my study tools now, I just buy software-related things because it's much easier for me to move around in a computer. Now, if you're not computer savvy or you're not comfortable with a computer and you're serious about studying the Bible, there's no better reason to get involved with computers than the study of God's Word. And actually, when we were traveling, I had done some recording and messed with computers and done some accounting software and whatnot. But actually was in outside of Los Angeles, and an interesting thing occurred because, you know, we were traveling in a motorhome, and I had my library where I would study. But we were in this campground, and a guy came up and said, you know, are you out for pleasure? You travel? And because we had a trailer, and he's a pretty smart guy. He said, you know, usually people that travel with trailers are out doing, they're working. And I said, well, I'm involved in music ministry and out, you know, I do traveling and teaching and music and stuff. And he goes, oh, okay, you know. So we talked for a little while, and he said, well, I actually am a representative for this Bible software company. And I said, cool, you know. And Pastor Chuck had blessed me through the Bible tapes that I was just popping in as we were on the road. And that was one of my main study tools as well as the books. But this guy, we were getting ready to pull off to go minister that night. And the guy walked over with a CD and said, you know, when the Lord speaks to me, I try to listen. And God told me to give you this CD. And it was like their heavy-duty reference edition Mac Daddy deal kind of thing. And... that's not the term they use, but he said, and he gave it to me, and man, I started digging in that thing, and I was just like, this is incredible. And because you can just do so many things. You know, I can pull up a verse. I can do. I can enter in a word. It can find every word in every place, and then you click on the place that word is, and the verse pops up. You can click on another thing and have the Hebrew or the Greek pop up. And it's just an incredible tool. And actually, we carry some of this stuff in the bookstore, not to bless people, because we carry it for, when we figure in shipping, it's probably right at cost, to be honest, to help equip people. And it's not as expensive as it once was. We've got some stuff in there. There's like Illumina, which we sell for like $40, which has, I don't know if you all remember. Okay. This thing is cool. When we were in Leviticus, we were showing different objects in the tabernacle. I don't know if y'all were here during that time, but you can actually go. It's awesome. You can go into the Holy of Holies, and it's like a virtual tour, you know. And you can look around and look up, and you know, I mean, had you know, in real life, you'd been dead because you'd be killed for going into the Holy of Holies. So, you know, and the guy's singing in Hebrew, and I mean, it's very cool. And then also, in the Illumina Gold has a map of Israel, and you can click on different cities in Israel, and then a little man pops up that it's actually a little video clip of the guy talking about the stuff in Israel. It's amazing. And then that's a great intro program. I use more than that. I use PC Study Bible, which is actually who that guy worked for years ago in L.A. that turned me on to software. And it's just the most user-friendly. And these things are not hard to use anymore. And even their intro thing, I think, is like $42 now. And Illumina will go on Mac or PC. PC Study Bible, you can tell by the name, only goes on PC. But that intro version has, and I made a list, 4 Bibles, the Knaves, Topical Bible, Nelson's Bible Dictionary, Matthew Henry Commentary, Strong's Concordance, Englishman's Greek and Hebrew Concordance, Bible Maps, and Photos. Now, that's the intro program. When you get up to the Advanced Reference Library, which is the one I use, it's expensive. Retails for $500. We sell it for $350. And we don't keep these in stock simply because we can't afford them. So if you want to order them, you just order them, and we'll have them within the week. That's got like 13 Bible versions. It's got over $1,500 in literature materials in there, all sorts of commentaries, all sorts. It's got the original text in there of the Hebrew and the Greek and photos and all this stuff in there. That's probably more than most of you. Well, it's more than I need, actually, to be honest. But there's a lot of very cool stuff and a lot of cool tools in there. And maybe you're sitting there and you go, well, I can't really invest. I don't have finances or whatever. I understand it. You know, one of the best tools in doing more in-depth study and in the Bible is, and you probably have these in your Bible, I don't know if you've noticed them, is the cross-reference scriptures that are in your Bible. When you read a certain passage, and again, I would encourage you to maybe separate your reading time and your studying time. Maybe to read something short thing in the morning, and then at night maybe grab something more in depth, go a little slower, and look up these cross references. Because as I've said, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. And a lot of times you'll find some really neat stuff going through these cross references. It's an awesome thing. Well, one more thing I want to mention, and that is meditating. Now, even as I say that, you probably just thought, well, wait a minute, I thought we didn't do that, you know. And we don't meditate in the New Age sense, you know, sitting around thinking of nothingness. But we are supposed to meditate on the Word of God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. Says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, going back to the original languages, this word for meditation is almost in the root of it, almost is kind of picturesque of a cow chewing his cud. If you're not familiar with how a cow eats grass. He actually eats the grass and he chews it and he swallows it, and I mean to gross you out, but he, you know, regurgitates it and chews it a little bit more and he swallows it again, and this goes on for, is it five times, I think? Something like that. Yeah, a lot. And that's a good way to approach the Word of God. And you need to understand that it's not necessarily a speed reading thing. You're not looking to say, okay, I read seven chapters today. Well, okay, did you get anything out of it? Because what I've found sometimes, and again, I read my devotional reading is kind of, you know, there's a certain section of Scripture I'm going through. In a separate time of the day, I might get two verses and just stop and go, man, and just get blown away by something about the love of God. And I don't need to read any further. Now, you know, I mean, my goal may have been to read a lot more, but if I read two verses and I sit back and I contemplate the love of God, or I contemplate some of the things like for me to live as Christ, for me to die as gain, I mean, how long can you think about that scripture? There's certain passages in there that you just, it blows you away. You can just sit back and go, man. And you should sit back and you should think about it and consider it. And what you don't want to do is, as you're spending the time in the Word and a verse just leaps out at you, is to continue on real fast. That's the worst thing in the world you can do. Take the time. If that means you don't read anything else that day or that night or whatever, that's fine. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and revealing a truth. And you know, you may have read this passage 100 times, but all of a sudden you read it and something fresh is there and something new is there. That's the Holy Spirit communicating God's truth to you. So don't just hurry through it. Now I want to end with a challenge to you. I don't know how many people in here have read the entire Bible, but I would challenge you to do that. I would encourage you to make a commitment to do that. I've met people who have been believers for 30, 40, 50 years who have not read the Bible. They've not read every book that's in there. I would challenge you to read the whole book. And until you do that, make a commitment to read the whole book. You can go through and maybe mark the books as you read them. Put little checks or little marks beside them. And it's okay to write in your Bible. That's not, you know, anything weird. I've got one Bible that's just, it's nothing but writing in there. And, I mean, my writing. That sounded weird, didn't it? Just a bunch of words in there. I don't know. And it's okay to take notes and to write in your Bible. You're not desecrating it or anything. But until you've read the whole Bible, make a commitment to read it on a regular basis. Now maybe you're sitting there and go, wait a minute. So after I read it all the way through, I don't have to be committed to it? No, it'll radically change your life. And after that, you're spoiled and you're dependent upon it. And you'll read it every day whether you think you should or not. You get dependent upon the Word of God. But you know what? I would not want to be standing in front of God with the 60 or 70 or 80 some years that He's given me and be explaining to Him why I didn't have time to read one book all the way through. His book all the way through. This is by far the best book that you will ever read. People have died so that you could have this in your hands and in your house. It has worn out, as it's been said, it has worn out many a hammer that tried to strike it down. And it's a precious treasure. And as a Christian, in honoring the Lord, He has written this letter to you. And it's up to you to read that love letter. It's about Jesus. From the first chapter of Genesis to the last chapter of Revelation, it's about Jesus. You want hope? It's in there. You want direction? It's in there. You want wisdom? It's in there. You want love? It's in there. You want encouragement? It's in there. You want correction? It's in there. You want to know how to handle this situation, that situation? It's all in there. All that we need for life is in this book. It's an amazing book. It's a supernatural book. It's alive. It's, if you'll permit me the word, it's a magical book. It's an awesome book. So I would encourage you, and if you get questions about anything that I said, and you want to call or email, or you get questions about any of the software or anything like that, then you can let me know or Margaret know. And I would just encourage you in digging deeper. And again, don't feel like another burden has been placed upon you. I am trying to give you encouragement and something that will provide more joy, more hope, and more freedom than anything else you could spend your time doing, without question, with the possible exception of prayer. Those two things. So I want to encourage you to dig deeper, and God will throw nuggets of gold and great pearls into your lap as you do that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this night, and I thank you, Lord, as we sit and we talk about your word. And Lord, you've built into me an excitement about this book and a hunger for your book. And Lord, that's not something my flesh came up with or necessarily something I wanted to do in and of myself. It's something that you gave me the desire and the hunger to do. And so, Lord, I ask that you would give each and every one of us in this room right now a hunger for your word and desire to dig in it and find the treasures that you've given us. Lord, for far too many years, I didn't dig in the word of God. I didn't spend time reading and studying and going deep in the word. And so, Lord, You've changed that in me, and I know that you can change that in everyone here. And Lord, I ask that they would not overwhelm themselves, that just simply a passage every day, maybe growing to a chapter a day, and Lord, that you would reward their time. Lord, that you, through your Holy Spirit, would speak to them. Lord, right where they are. Comfort where comfort is needed. Encourage where encouragement is needed. Direct where direction is needed. Lord, and we just thank you for the promise that says your word will not return void. It will accomplish that which it was sent forth to do. So, Lord, any amount of time that we spend in your word will accomplish things in our lives that we in and of ourselves can't do. So, Lord, we thank you for that promise in your word. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May his grace overshadow and surround you. I bid you his shalom, his peace, in the name of Yahshua, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys.